Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. This week we have Debbie Solon. She is a wonderful artist and filmmaker, and she created a fabulous store here in San Diego called the Fusion Glass Company. Welcome, Debbie.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you very much for inviting me. I'm delighted to be here.
Oh, I'm really happy you're here. You're so creative and so exciting to have you.
Thank you. It's definitely a big part of my life, being creative, and sharing it is another large part of what we do here at Fusion Glass Company. So we're happy to be here and share with you all over the radio, too.
Wonderful. Tell us a bit about yourself and your background.
Well, I was actually born in Wiltshire in England, and to Irish parents, moved to Dublin when I was 4 years of age, and remained there until I was almost 20. And then I traveled in Europe for a few years before coming to travel around the States. And while I was here in the States, I actually ended up meeting the guy I ended up marrying, Patrick. And Patrick and I went back to London and lived there for a few years before returning to his hometown of Detroit, Michigan, where I lived for 10 years before coming to San Diego.
And do you enjoy the area?
Of Michigan? Well, one of the things about Michigan...
No, San Diego, but that's okay.
Oh, San Diego, absolutely incredible. I love San Diego. The weather was a little bit difficult in Michigan. I had a wonderful time. I loved my job. I worked for a historic pottery called Puabic Pottery. And the only difficult thing, really, about Michigan, I think, was the weather. And, you know, we can't complain about that here in San Diego. So
yeah.
I'm very happy to be here. The colors, the brightness, it's all very conducive to being creative. There's lots of inspiration in San Diego.
Please tell the audience a bit about your company, what you do, and how you created it.
Okay, well, we created our company 10 years ago. We're actually celebrating our 10th anniversary. We'll have a big party November 30th, and we'll have a lot of art showing and have a huge celebration. But 10 years ago, Paul and I had just finished basically playing with glass for a year in his kitchen. We had met while I worked for a very brief time at the real estate company where he was working as a real estate agent, and he took a fusing class after a stained glass class he had taken and introduced me to it, and we just could not stop playing with it. It was intriguing. The amount of combinations that we could put together were endless. There was so much to learn. We literally played with glass for a year. We took over his house. His wife was amazing. But after during that year, we would give everything away. We were just giving pieces that we made to our friends, to the people we worked with. And eventually, so many people came back and asked us for more, we ended up just asking them for a small donation so that we could at least replenish our supplies. Then after about a year, a friend of ours asked us to help raise some money for a young boy in El Cajon who needed help with medical bills. And so we put up a table at their church fair and sold $1,200 worth of pendants at that show in 2 days, and realized at that point that we actually had a business, that people wanted what we were doing. So in the following January, which was 2003, January 3rd, 2003, we actually opened the doors to our first little workshop. And it remained a very private workshop. We traveled around the country selling and did that for 5 years until finally, really between airfares and shipping costs and hotel costs, we decided that it would be better to look for a space in our neighborhood and start doing shows and showing our art and showing local artists. And that's what we've been doing now for the past 5 years here at our new location at 8872 La Mesa Boulevard. So a main part of our work here is showing other artists and teaching classes. We love to teach what we do.
What inspires you to create? What sparks it?
I think it's a compulsion. It's never ending. Everything around me. I mean, there's a lot of times I feel like I'm an expressionist artist. I feel things and have to bring that out somehow. And while I'm not literary, I need to make pictures. Those are my words in a sense. But color combinations, color intrigues me. And I love to see how other people react to it. People have a reaction to color on a literal gut level. You can see a change in them as they perceive color. And to me, that is always going to be probably the most amazing part of creating art. And for those people who know my art, they'll know that I really work in very simple color combinations. Mostly, if I'm working it with yellows, it will mostly be yellows and oranges. Or if I'm working with blues, it will mostly be blues and greens. So
are you a fan
color
of
is
pop
amazing
art?
To me. Sorry?
Are you a fan of pop art?
I am. I'm a fan of all kinds of art. And here at our gallery, what we want every media and medium that people can think of creating in. I love outsider art, too.
What is outsider art?
Outsider art is, it's kind of an assemblage of found objects, and it can be anything, literally. There's no real definition.
Interesting. I've never heard the term before. It's really interesting. I mean, I like art, but I'm not an artist by any stretch, and I think it's really fun. I love going to galleries. That's how I discovered you.
I know. I'm delighted that you discovered us. It was a wonderful moment when you walked in our door. Yes, it was.
thank you. Thank you. I really took to your art. I loved the place. They have if you're in the San Diego area, drop by. It's a really nice shop. It really is fun. That's my little plug for you.
Thank you very much, Sherry. We do have a lot of fun, and I think it's very apparent when people come to the studio. I think they can feel it. There's a lot of silliness involved in it as well as creativity.
Yeah. That's why I liked it. It was a very happy atmosphere and welcoming, because I was new, and I mean new to San Diego, new to the area, and really feeling separated.
I love to hear that. Did you come alone that first day?
Yeah.
Or did you come with a friend? So even though you came there alone, you didn't know anyone, you felt completely welcomed.
Yeah.
I love to hear that. Thank you. I feel we're doing a great job when I hear stuff like that.
That's, little Los Angelino coming in and separated by all the San Diegans.
And finding a creative group. We really do attract very creative clientele here. There's lots of creative people. We have people who do all kinds of art. And then they come here and take our classes as well, which is really fun to see people add a new dimension to what they're doing.
Tell us a bit about your classes. How did those come about? I mean, I know you already were giving displays and going around the country and stuff, but did that come when you opened your store, or was it your workshop, or how did that come about?
It really did come when we opened our store. Our original workshop, everything was shoved in shoeboxes, so nobody could see anything. When we opened our shop, our little gallery, we were able to put our things out and display them, and we heard again and again, oh, I want to learn how to do this. People were just intrigued. And we remember, I mean, we still are after 10 years or 11 years of working with the medium. It's an intriguing, beautiful medium to work with. So we understood the desire to work with it. So after hearing this a number of times, we realized, well, we should teach these people how to do this. And that's what we did. And it sort of has become a mission. It's been so obviously freeing to so many people. I love it when we get someone in here who tells me they're not a creative person and they don't think they're going to do well and they're very down on themselves about whether they can do this. And then to see their face when they actually come in and pick up their finished project, it's amazing. I mean, it's like they're uplifted by their achievement. And it's such a simple way to be able to uplift somebody and make their day. I feel great about it. My business partner, Paul, feels great about it. We want to keep doing it. We feel we're meeting a need. People need more creativity in their life. They need to be freed up to allow themselves to create.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think one of the missing links in today's society is the spark of creativity. I think the more people are starting to go back to it in whatever way they can be creative, and maybe it'll turn everything around and people start feeling better about themselves.
I hope you're right. And I mentioned earlier the pottery that I worked for in Michigan, Puabic Pottery. They are an arts and crafts era pottery from 1902. And
mm-hmm.
back then, too, the same kind of thing was happening. People were having a hard time financially. And you can't afford to go out. You can't afford to go to dinner. You can't go to the theater. There's so many things that you have to deny yourself. Creativity does not need to be one of them. You can make things from anything. I have some lanterns that I made that are hanging in my front window here on a tree. They're made from brown paper bags and old wire coat hangers. And I can't tell you how many people have looked at those lanterns and commented on how beautiful they are.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, it's wire coat hangers and paper. You know, anyone can do this. But they need to be taught or allowed to see different ways of thinking. You know, artists think in a different way. And
yep.
especially the children. We need to show the children that there are so many ways of thinking and that all of them are right. There isn't a wrong way. There's always a different way.
I think that's why it's so important and that there's arts and crafts for them, because they don't have in school anymore, that they have places like your shop to go to play, you know,
yes.
to be creative, to do little projects.
Yes, and they have come here, and they've written us letters that would make you cry. In fact, Paul and I cried when we got some of the letters. Since then, we've actually begun organizing a program. We call it Take Part, and it is a traveling glass class that we want to take into the schools. So if there's teachers out there listening, talk to us. Let us know that you're interested. We've applied for funding. We're fundraising ourselves through our own efforts. And like I said earlier, the kids need to know that there's different ways of thinking. We want them to build synapses by creative thinking. And we can reach so many more kids by going to them than we can having them trying to come to us.
Yeah, that's something I remember when I was a kid was the different traveling group. I think that's one of the reasons I got the acting bug when I was young, because the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts and the Shakespeare Company came to our school.
And you were inspired. And that's all
yeah.
it takes, Sherry. That's my whole point, is that's all it takes. I'm not kidding you. One of the letters that I got from one of the kids after a class said she wanted to come here every single day. She wanted to work here. She signed it, your new best friend.
Oh.
She was here for 2 hours for a class. I mean, again and again, we've had letters like this. And I know that the creative people, the people that were in my life when I was a kid who encouraged my creativity, those people really remain with me to this day. I mean, my art teacher, Miss Stanley, I think of her. My mom, my grandmother, my sister, my dad. All of those people who were encouraging, and some kids don't have someone to encourage them.
Yeah.
So if we can do that, that's a huge accomplishment. And we're very excited about it. So the information is on our events link on fusionglasgow.com. So anyone who's interested, would like to have more information, teachers that would like us to come out to the school and do the class, we want to hear from them.
I have a question I ask a lot of my guests because it's something I'm trying to do. How do you do a balance between your work and your personal life?
That's such a great question, and I get asked that so many times. Many of my friends think I'm a workaholic, as do my family. But I point out to them that for me personally, my work and my personal hobby overlap in such a huge way that many times when I'm at work, I mean, I have a fun job. I have a lot of my friends come by. Fusion Glass Company is a hub of creativity. There's always someone stopping in and sharing something. My family live in Dublin, in London, and in Spain, so we Skype on a regular basis. My ex-husband, who's one of my best friends, and my daughter live 5 minutes apart from me, and we schedule lunches and dinners every single week, as well as I love technology. So I stay in touch with my family and friends through technology, too. Yes, and for time for myself, taking photographs, getting in the car, driving out into the wilderness with a camera, and just spending hours upon end taking pictures is one of the most rejuvenating experiences that I personally can have.
Well, you're a photographer, too.
I am.
That is really
amateur.
Cool. Amateur. Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're beautiful.
Thank you.
Are you more inspired by nature or fantasy?
Well, I think being raised where I was in Ireland, both of those things were a huge part of my life. I lived on the slope of the Wicklow Mountains outside Dublin, so nature was very close to us. As kids, we went hiking literally for miles and miles, a group of kids just on our own, bringing our picnic lunches with us up into the forests and crossing the rivers and the brooks. And, of course, always for me, looking out for the fairies, which would bring in the fantasy aspect. I have a lot of pictures in my head, and a lot of my art is images that I feel are related to an actual feeling or sense of myself. And so in one sense, I feel like art is a diary for me, in especially my painting. The glass jewelry is the colors again. I have to go back to that's something that's very inspiring for me is the color of the glass. And you've seen my work. There's a lot of nature. I do a lot of fish, and I do a lot of leaves and flowers and trees. So both are probably, I'd say, equally. I mean, like the fairy flowers, they're fairy flowers. I wanted to make jewelry that I thought a fairy would wear. What would a fairy wear? Nature, you know.
Your fairies are adorable.
Thank you. My fairies are actually surprising me in a sense where they've been invited. I have 13 fairy dresses going on show at the San Diego Best Dressed Awards on November 21st.
Really? Congratulations.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
As well. Yeah, so televised
that's
show.
Great.
Thank you. And that's a fundraiser for San Diego Miracle Babies through Leonard Simpson's Fashion Forward. And, I'm very excited about that. They're also going to be in a show at a mall in Calexico. There's an opening of a mall, Grand Plaza Mall, on the November 16th.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was very surprised that, because, of course, I make the fairy dresses simply for our Midsummer Night's Dream show that we have once a year, and originally started making them because I needed a new dress every year. And now I just have a rack full of them, and Leonard Simpson was in the shop working on a fundraiser that we were doing with Young Audiences of San Diego. Marjorie Pozzoli and myself were working with some celebrities to create hand-painted silk scarves and matching glass, and Leonard was one of those people. And he saw the fairy dresses and asked me if he could show them. So, yeah, there you go. The fairies are still with me.
The fairies are alive and well.
They are.
Is that like from your Irish background, the thing with the fairies, is that because you just had that lyrical past when you were raised? Or is, you know, I mean, I know you were raised in London too, but Joe Rowling's Scottish background comes in again and again in Harry Potter, and she lived all over the place. So I just wondered if that came with the Irish background.
I think It possibly did. I don't know if everybody heard fairy stories when they were kids, but I remember, I'm the middle of five children, and I remember my mom sitting on the chair with all of us kids spread around her feet and reading us Ina Blyton books. Do you know who Ina Blyton is?
Yes.
Okay, so
yes,
she
I like
read,
English stuff.
she read us Ina Blyton books by the dozens. I mean, literally. And you know how many fairy stories are in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they just intrigued me. The faraway tree with the huge, big magic tree that had the elves and the fairies living in it. And, yeah, that was all very real, maybe, to me. And when my daughter was little, I mean, I brought the fairies into her life. She was raised in Michigan, but I brought the fairies into her life. She used to look for the fairies under the mushrooms in the back garden. And, you know, I read her all of the Ina Blyton books when she was a kid. So,
do you ever look
yeah.
at your photographs and look to see if there's, like, a little fairy in it?
Oh, there's always fairies in my photographs. Always. They follow me around, fairy.
I actually got that from, I never heard of that before, and I was reading an Agatha Christie series called Tommy and Tuppence. It was called Partners in Crime, and it was the first part of it, and he was taking the photographic equipment, and he was fooling around with it, and she goes, oh, is there fairies in the flat?
And of course there was.
Oh, yes,
I hope
of course.
There was,
they found
yes.
one. They were so excited.
Yes.
And
yeah,
then I
lots,
ran
I mean,
to my photograph album to look at my pictures.
Please tell me you found some.
I did.
Good,
I was
good.
So excited.
That's fun.
That's where I learned
it. It's wonderful
it.
To have an imagination. And, mm-hmm. yes, I think that's something that really needs to be nurtured in our society.
Mm-hmm.
We need it so much. And I feel really honored to be able to touch people's lives with what we do and share just a little bit of it. And we have people who come into the gallery and tell me, oh, I'm not coming in to buy anything today. I just wanted to be around the colors. I know. I'm not kidding. That has happened a number of times. And to me, that's wonderful. If you feel comfortable enough to come in here and just wander around amongst the beautiful colors, I think that's fabulous. Feel uplifted when you leave.
It's a really sweet, loving environment. That's one of the reasons I love going over there.
Thank you, Sherry. Come back often, won't you?
You're down the block. It's hard enough.
I know. I know. November 30th, right?
Yes.
Big party. Yes.
Please tell your events that are coming up right away so people, if they're in the San Diego area, can come to one of them.
Okay, we've actually got a number of things coming up. We have Paul Fernandes will be out at the Bernarder Winery on October 19th and 20th, and he will have a Fusion Glass Company booth. And we also have our little takeout class there. So if somebody wanted to put together a little piece of glass, they can do that, and then we can either mail it to them or they can come to the studio and pick it up. And then November 16th, we're having a little celebration for our joint venture with Bijou Boutique in La Jolla. That's at 7966 Herschel Avenue. And we are going to have some wine and some hors d'oeuvres and just celebrate our little La Jolla opening there. San Diego Best Dressed on the 21st, Miracle Babies fundraiser. If you haven't bought a ticket and you'd like to, you can go on their website and get tickets for that. And then one of my favorite events that we're going to do for the year is our annual holiday party on November 30th, and that is from 7 till 11 p.m., and it's also our 10th anniversary party. So we're very excited about it. We want the girls dressed in sparkles and glitter and sequins, and we'll have champagne and wine and beer and food and entertainment, prizes, fabulous art. Everybody needs to be there for that.
And are all the prices for the events that – there's no prices for most of it, but is there any prices for any of the events that you're talking about?
I think the only thing that you would have to pay into is the San Diego Best Dressed Awards, as that's a fundraiser. But the events
okay.
that we host are there's no charge.
Free.
Yeah, there's no charge.
But I meant outside events that you were mentioning, because people are going to
yeah.
want to know how much stuff is.
The San Diego Best Dressed Awards.
Go to their website?
You can find out on their website, yes. And then once the second Wednesday of every month, we do a very special class. I actually pick a project, and then I invite the ladies to come and do the project. They bring wine and snacks, and we do a fun project once a month on the second Wednesday. So that's the second Wednesday of every month, and it's open to the public. So first come, first serve. We have space for 30 people, and our project for November is actually a very special one. You get to make 10 pendant pieces because we're doing a special gift-giving ladies' night out on November 13th.
So that's
we
cool.
want to have plenty of pieces for people to give away so they can keep some, because it's hard for them to give them away. Usually we let them make 3 pieces, but then they like them all and they want to keep them. So we
exactly.
if they can make 10, we think that then they can actually give some away. And we're also looking, we're always looking for volunteers for our events. We always need help, and we do internships as well. So if there's anyone out there looking for a spot as an intern in a wonderful, fun, homey, creative company, they should contact us on the information that you post after the show.
Great. Okay, I would like my live audience to thank Debbie for a wonderful interview. I told you it would go fast.
It did.
Next week, I'm going to have Star Mel. He's an author, and his book is called The Righteous Way. Thank you, Debbie. Great interview.
Thank you so much for having me here, Sherry. It was wonderful and very fun. See you soon.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.